It's time for the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. The Medicare podcast for confused Americans. He knows that a Chinaman is really a ship that sails to China. Medicare expert Doug Jones.
No, it wasn't the $64,000 question. It was a show just like that, and I swear to God, I've never seen a man sweat as much as Charles Van Dorn did, even though he knew all the answers. Oh, hello, audience. Thank you for joining me, Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. We were just finishing up a conversation that occurred long before Randy pushed the button, and then he gave me the high sign, and oops, there you are. Anyway, I'm sure you just heard my nephew, Drew McMillan, do one of his fantastic intros to this podcast. He's a great guy. He's a TV star in Canada. And frankly, he's doing this in a very cost-effective manner for our podcast. And we are very lucky to have his services doing the intro for each episode. So you have joined the Lazy Man for the Medicare podcast. Lazy Man for the Medicare. I can't even remember the name of the own thing. The Lazy Man. The Medicare for the Lazy Man. I get so excited every time we start recording. Medicare for the Lazy Man. It's a podcast designed to make Medicare enrollment and understanding painless, or at least less painful than it would normally be without our services. We want to make it easy and perhaps entertaining to learn a little bit about Medicare so that there is no reason for concern or fear. Most of the decisions that have to be made by Medicare enrollees are fairly simple. There aren't very many decisions to make, but they're very important for long-term satisfaction and protection. And so that's why we're here. And when I say we, I'm also including Randy Carson, my engineer and spiritual guru. Thank you very much for joining us, Randy.
You are absolutely welcome, Doug. I just wanted to mention that you are in fabulous voice today. It's coming across perfectly. I think you could probably sign up to be an operatic star anytime.
Well, here's the deal. You were telling me that many of your other customers are interested in doing their own podcasts. And I was thinking, well, how can I milk this to my advantage? And I thought if they needed an announcer, I could step in for Drew McMillan and I could do the intros for their podcast.
Absolutely. And you know that you and I think a lot alike. That very, very thought was crossing my mind. The other thing that had crossed my mind was that you and I could do our shtick on behalf of another company.
And then my thought was, how do we extract money from that company?
Well, that's easily done because I'm already pricing it as a service.
Wonderful. Well, I'll be happy to join you anytime I can make a positive contribution to your cash flow and your fun factor. Both of those things are important to me. Now, what we did was we started our podcast in January and we recorded four episodes every week, but played three. And by the time June came around, we had about 50 episodes in the bank. So we took a hiatus and let those episodes play out at the rate of three per week. And then when we came back, we made a pledge to each other to get down to business early in the episode and then do the goofing around later in the episode. And the end result of that has been we actually sort of almost get to business fairly early in the episode. And then after the Medicare part is over, we're worn out and frankly bored to death. And the humor has been sucked out of us. So I don't think we've been goofing around as much as we used to. And our episodes have been a little bit shorter. But it may be that they're more beneficial to those Medicare enrollees out there who are looking for Medicare information. So at the risk of boring people, I thought I'd dive right into the Medicare stuff. And then before we got started today, Randy reminded me I hadn't really planned the episodes we're going to record today. So it may be that I just got a bunch of disjointed garbage. But what's happened over the last few days is we've found that some of our friends are not hiding under their beds because of the Chinese virus. And several of our friends are going through cataract removal surgery. And they already know more than I do about how Medicare treats cataract surgery and what is done about it under the Medicare protection, or under the protection of Medicare health insurance. And those people all have Medicare supplements because, of course, they're all my clients. So I found a write-up to describe the results of cataract surgery and how Medicare treats it. And the short story is that Medicare Part B pays for cataract surgery because it's all done outpatient. And of course, Part B is coverage for outpatient procedures because you're not locked up in an institution, either a hospital or a nursing home or a nursing skilled nursing facility. And those would be Part A procedures. So Medicare Part B, which has a $200 front-end deductible and then pays 80% of the resulting, the remainder of the costs, Medicare Part B covers cataract surgery, and that leaves 20% for the Medicare supplement to pay. Now, if you've got a high deductible Medicare supplement, like I always recommend, then you're going to pay 20% until you've reached the deductible of the supplement, but Medicare is still going to pay 80%. But Medicare covers cataract surgery if it's done using traditional surgical techniques or using lasers, it says. And I have a fact sheet written for doctors who, you know, ophthalmologists who do the procedure. And then they also install intraocular lenses. Now, what sparked my interest in this was that one has a choice of lenses. If you're going to go in for cataract surgery, which I think takes like a half an hour, and I think it's virtually painless, then the lens choice that's going to replace whatever they remove is it consists of a lens that Medicare will pay for, or optional lenses that I'm told cost, I think, $1,800 per eye. And those have a greater visual acuity. So it's remotely possible that your vision needs will be accommodated very nicely, and you won't need glasses. I was told that some of these lenses, that your choice of lens really is going to determine whether you have farsightedness or nearsightedness. And then if you want to pay for the extra, the expensive lenses, they have, they're like bifocals. And in one case, trifocals. Now, one party told me that those lenses don't work as well. They haven't been perfected yet. Another party told me that, I think she said she got the trifocals, and her vision, once she trained her brain to look through certain areas of the lenses, her vision was quite satisfactory. So apparently you have choices, and I guess you have to trust the surgeon. And this is where it comes in, the surgeon's expertise comes in, and is probably going to be helpful in allowing you to make the best choice for you if the surgeon has a lot of experience. So a cataract is an opacity or cloudiness in the lens of the eye, and it blocks the passage of light coming through that lens, sometimes resulting in blurred or impaired vision. And Medicare specifically excludes certain items and services for coverage, including eyeglasses and contact lenses. However, this is a medical procedure, and the things that Medicare pays for, this would be the operation, the facility, the new lens, all that stuff is medically necessary. That's why Medicare is going to pay the majority of the cost. And this would include one pair of eyeglasses or contact lenses as a prosthetic device furnished after the cataract surgery. Because during the surgery, they're going to put in an intraocular lens. And then depending on which lens you've chosen, you may need the correction than a pair of glasses, like readers or, you know, inexpensive glasses would provide for you. So also for glaucoma screenings, Medicare will cover those annually for certain individuals. Those would be people with diabetes, because they have a higher percentage of glaucoma problems. Individuals with a family history of glaucoma, I guess it's hereditary, blacks age 50 or older, and Hispanics age 65 or older. Those are the people that Medicare is going to pay for glaucoma screening. And it says here, glaucoma screening is a Medicare-covered preventive services. Deductibles and co-payments do apply for claims for that. And then I have a thing here, other eye-related Medicare-covered services, and don't have a lot of detail on that. So, frankly, I get to throw away all this paper I collected now because I have read it. But the important thing is Medicare will screen for eye diseases, and then you will be the beneficiary. If a disease is discovered, glaucoma or cataract, then you will be the beneficiary of Medicare's largesse. So I don't know if you can see your way clear to understanding there, or did I cloud the issue, Randy? Okay, yeah, he loves
it. Oh, my God. What a segue, the segue master. So anyway, a little bit of firsthand experience. I have had cataract surgery on both eyes. And
you're wearing glasses.
Well, these are just dime store readers.
Oh, okay.
Our audience would know what a dime store was, but I use the term dime store reader with, you know, anybody, you know, like my daughter and a little younger, they go, what the heck is a dime store?
They barely know what a dollar store is.
So my firsthand experience with cataract surgery is, to your point, Doug, there's various different lenses. There's kind of the fixed focus, which would be the less expensive version. And I think that's the one you were referring to that Medicare covers. And they do cite you in for one particular focal length, so to speak. And they ask me, what do you want to be cited in for, reading or picking a gnat off a post with a pistol?
Uh-huh. And which did you choose?
And I took the gnat version.
Good. We gnat haters appreciate you.
That's right. So there hasn't been a gnat around my house for a long time.
On the other hand, you're not reading worth a crap, I guess. Huh?
Well, no, I got a whole bag full of dime store readers.
Yeah.
You know, I buy them by the gross, you know, on those blister packs.
What's your prescription?
I have to have about a 175, which isn't bad.
That's fantastic, because I'm up to like threes or 2.75.
Oh, on your dime stores?
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah, I started out at a 1.5, and then I'm at a 1.75, and I've pretty well narrowed in that's where I'm going to be for dime store readers. But I buy them by the gross, and then because I leave them around everywhere, and people say, hey, can I use those for a second? And I just let them have them because I
sit on mine.
Yeah.
Snap.
Snap. What was that? Oh, darn it.
Yes. Well, get another one out of the bag.
But the other version of the lenses that you were referring to is they are essentially adjustable lens. I mean, they kind of work just like your original lens used to work. In other words, the eye muscles are able to focus it and affect it in terms of its focal length.
That's cool, because I didn't get that from the article I read.
Yeah, well, that's the purpose of them.
Okay.
And they are, to my knowledge, let me put it this way. I think in some cases they are wonderful things. I don't know whether they live up to their, you know, reputation in terms of, I don't think they're quite as good as what your, you know, the eye you were born with is, but
yeah,
I think they're certainly better than a fixed length. But I don't personally have any issues with the fixed length. I can spot a gnat at 500 yards, and as far as reading the paper, I get out a dime store pair of glasses.
Well, you know something, I've been living with these dime store readers for a long time, and frankly, these friends of mine that had the cataract surgery and had to make those decisions had a difference of opinion. they went to different doctors, they got different advice, and I'm sure their eyeballs are different too. So this is the kind of thing where you've got to learn to trust a surgeon. But if I can just stick with the readers, I'd be fine. But what scares me is that my little prescription is going up by an increment of about 0.25 every year, and I'm going to run out of glass. They're not making them strong enough anymore.
Well, they go, the Dime Store readers go quite a ways. I think I saw one time that they go to a 3.0.
Yeah, that's not enough.
That's not enough.
That's not enough.
So do you have you had cataract surgery?
No, and I don't think I'm going to be a candidate for it. My wife, who is, her maiden name is so German that it frightens those of us who are not German. Now, I'm not going to tell what her maiden name was, but anyway, one time she said, this is like 10, 15 years ago, she said, okay, I've made an appointment for a group of ophthalmologists to examine our eyes. And she said, I'm sure mine are fine, but you smoke like a chimney, and they're going to find all kinds of reasons to beat you over the head and tell you to quit smoking. And so she drags me to this place, and they examined us both in the same room. You know, okay, you sit down in the chair and we'll do all this stuff, and then you switch places. So we were in the same room. The ophthalmologist then gave us each the results of our examinations, and he said to me, you're just fine. And he turned to my wife and said, okay, I've got a list of things to speak to you about.
Oh, no.
And I sat there smiling like the catbird, and I was I walked out of there, and she was so angry not to be able to use anything to improve my behavior. Now, over the course of years, they told me I developed the slightest amount of measurable astigmatism there was, and they finally gave me a prescription. But the prescription, I chose bifocals, and frankly, they're not as good as the readers for doing the stuff that I do. So I barely ever use those things.
No, my eye doctor, I mean, as you know, I use Dime Store readers, so by the gross, and my eye doctor says, do you want me to give you a prescription? And I said, well, I don't know. It's, it's up to you. And he goes, what do you do? I said, well, computer work, all that kind of stuff. And he goes, well, he says, truthfully, as slight as this prescription would be, it's a waste of money for you because you would never wear it.
Yeah, well, that's pretty much what I was told the first time I had an eye exam, was just go to the drugstore and get, and he wrote down 1.50, yep. I think, and that was great for 10 years, and then I started creeping up. So when you say I'm going to hit it at 3.0,
well, it's either 3.0 or 3.5, I'm not sure.
Well, I'm going to be, screeching to a halt very soon then, and I'm going to have to do something, probably get a prescription for something stronger, I would guess.
Well, yeah, you can always get prescription readers, and, at the end of the day, it would probably be better, as you grow into using your terminal and your laptop, all that stuff, get yourself a pair of computer glasses.
Yeah. I'll tell you, though, I've noticed something different. Living in Arizona, I have always worn sunglasses when I drive. Start the car, ignore the seatbelt, put on the sunglasses. That's always been my modus operandi. And I've noticed over the last year or so that I see better. I can actually feel more comfortable that I'm seeing what's going on around me without wearing sunglasses. Like I make a conscious choice. The sunglasses are impairing my vision. I don't know why that started or if that's indicative of anything I should be worried about, but I don't wear the sunglasses anymore. I feel more comfortable without them when I'm driving.
I would have thought it would have been just the opposite.
Well, it should be, because they say the sunglasses protect you from all kinds of eye damage, but in my case, the sunglasses impede my vision, and so I haven't been wearing them for the last year or so.
Well, back when I had yet to have my cataract surgery, I actually wore sunglasses because it diminished. I don't know how to describe this, but when you have cataracts, there's a lot of refraction going on that you don't want.
Right.
And at least in my case, somehow the sunglasses helped eliminate some of that unwanted refraction.
I see.
So I don't know that's probably a very personal event, but that's how I did it. And if I would have went out in the sunshine, at least to drive without sunglasses, remember those big curb feelers?
Oh yeah. Those were cool.
Yeah. I don't know if anybody out there knows what a curb feeler is, but I would have had them all around my car.
And still have dents and dings.
That's right.
Well, the spousal unit is now wrestling with macular degeneration.
Yeah.
One eye is wet and one eye is dry. And she has she goes in for injections in her eyeball.
This makes me cringe every time you say it.
Oh, and so she gets the injections. It's a series and takes a few weeks between them. But she's got what she describes as a floater, but I think it's a function of the macular treatment or something, but it's like a big round black hole in the middle of her vision, and she's got to train her brain to look around the black hole. So she wears sunglasses all the time. I imagine she has the same kind of effect that you were describing.
Yeah.
With the flashing, is it, or you know?
Yeah. It cuts down the unwanted refraction, so I imagine she uses them for the very same reason.
Yeah. Although she looks cooler in them, I kind of
dig it. Well, yeah, I've seen her in her sunglasses. She looks like a pretty cool babe.
Yeah, it's just weird to have her sleeping in sunglasses.
There is that problem.
But. So how are we doing time-wise? Do we have time for a bunch of mailbag stuff like we always like to
out.
Do? Holy garbage.
We did good today. We talked 99.9% Medicare, which is good.
Well, Medicare plus our own personal vision experiences, which I'm sure the audience is fascinated by.
I know. They're fascinated. And just now they know that I can pick a gnat off of a post at 50 yards.
Yeah, those gnats better watch out. Well, anyway, thank you, audience, for joining us for Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. We always enjoy having you here.
We do. I absolutely thank you for joining us. You could have been... Well, I always say 17 other places, but in today's world, let's just call it 5.
Yeah, it's fewer than it used to be. And frankly, as Randy and I get older and lazier, we're not likely to be anywhere but where we are. Anyway, go to barnesandnoble.com or amazon.com and buy my book, Medicare for the Lazy Man 2020. You can buy it in audio, paperback, or ebook form. And, they always try to get you to join their ebook club. So you get a book for free if you want to do that. Or the audio book, there's some kind of audio club too, and you can get my audio book for free. So any one of those choices. And I would say, since I'm going to be starting to work in the next month or so on the 2021 version of the book, get your 2020 version now, because they won't be printing those forever. And, what else do we want them to do? Oh, we're revamping the website so that you're going to see many, many green states when you decide that you would like some help in selecting or purchasing a Medicare supplement plan and perhaps a drug plan. Then we are your boys. And you go to our website, medicareforthelazyman.com. Go to the map at the bottom on the landing page and click on your state. And eventually you're going to see all the information you need. Until then, if you need help right away or advice or you have questions, send us a question or a love note at dbj@mlmmailbag.com. I think that's all I had to say.
Well, you covered it very well, Doug. I just wanted to point out that the map on the bottom of the website, pretty soon that is going to be so green that you're going to think it's Christmas. And in the context of Medicare, it is.
Yeah, green is good.
Green is good. There's not going to be any red on there. Green is good. So mark your calendars. It's not going to happen tomorrow afternoon, but in a short time, that's all going to be green. So all you folks that we've unfortunately had to turn away that needed help, wanted help, that's not going to happen anymore.
I'm looking forward to that day. So thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.